Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another rainy night in Warrior Connection. Well, all the events have happened this past week, and first off, one, make it loud and clear for the world to hear. Thank you, Gary Noel, for the documentaries that you have done on all the stuff associated with the health and environmental effects of military operations, homelessness, and everything else. You have led the charge, and as a consequence, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Shinseki is now history, his principal deputy is now history, and we have an opportunity to go forth and correct the nightmare that's been the VA and also in the DA medical system. Well, before we go on this radio show, thanks to our co-host, Major Denise Nichols, RN, and others individuals, David and all those guys out there, they led the charge in information to ensure that House Bill 4261 did pass, and ladies and gentlemen, it did pass. So the rat goes back into its own authority, gets out from under Shinseki's goofballs, and...
Doug, it passed the House.
Passed the House. It got to go through the Senate.
Right, and we're working on that. That's what we did while we were up there for the Iraq meeting, April 28th and 29th. And we saw senators, and we've been calling the senators in the D.C. office, and we need to encourage everybody to do that. The other bill that passed was a Desert Storm Memorial Bill. Now, that bill passed the House. They had a mirror bill in the Senate, so that should be quickly picked up and done. As I've told the staffers up there, it should have been done before Memorial Day. It wasn't. So hopefully that will move through quickly. There is a hearing, Senate Veterans Affairs, with a lot of legislative efforts coming on June 5th. You can check www.senate.gov and go to Committees, Veterans Affairs, and check on that hearing. We got something moving in the House. And
isn't that wonderful? Well, you know, thank you to Gary Noel and all the other individuals and the radio shows all over we've been on and the hard work and phone calls. It's happening. Well, tonight we want to focus on what needs to be done to fix the mess. You know, the overall general mess. And to do that, Denise, and hopefully we get some other guys call in and help us that have been on the show before. And to begin with, I think what we need to start and understand, the VA only gets to work with what is presented to them from the Department of Defense. And one of the nightmares that we have in the Department of Defense, ongoing with no things, is number one, so many physicals have disappeared. We know all from Desert Storm disappeared because the Connex was empty when Colonel Otis Corney Bopp and Colonel Herb Smith and Colonel Little and all those guys got to it to unpack them. They were gone. And we know today that the post-deployment physical forms disappeared, if they were even done. I mean, in too many cases, they were never done. And those were done, we know there's about 30% disappeared. That's a formal GAO investigation. So, Denise, I mean...
I've got
back
a list
about 15
of things.
Years ago, you outlined what needed to be done at an IOM meeting. And, and I remember Colonel Nalen was there and Admiral Elmo Zumwalt was there, and boy, they weren't a happy campers.
I'm going to go through that list on another show. Today, I kind of quickly thought what could happen for suggestions. And I've got a few that I'll just run through. And I've had other people aware of the show and the call-in today. They may have more to offer, so after I go through my little list, I hope we let them speak too. Number one is I think veterans need to be involved at each of the local VA hospitals and also the clinics. We've said for a long time we needed a Gulf War Veteran Task Force at each VA hospital with veteran involvement. So that's one. Number two is the coding on Gulf War illness claims. Now, we talked about that on a program last week or week before on the 88 codes that should be being used. But all the Gulf War veterans need to have their records clearly identified and on their electronic format that they are Gulf War veterans or OIF or OEF. But that needs to be clearly right there on every page. The other thing is doctors and providers have... at each of the facilities, at each VA hospital, at each clinic, need to be provided with education on Gulf War illness. The way I suggest it is webinars that can be done live, online, computer, and where our experts, be it Dr. Klimas, Dr. Galom, Dr. Leah Steele, Dr. Veronik at Georgetown, all of our different experts, to be able to have webinars and talking about what research has shown, potential treatments, and getting a feedback from the VA physicians also of, well, I tried this and it helped. That's, you know, really specific for GFOR illness problems. The scheduling problems. I think they have to have a system that if the veterans are not happy with the scheduling problems, there's got to be a system that you can go to the highest level, be it the OIG, the administrator of the hospital, and say, this isn't going to work. I can't wait 2 months to get a referral. A lot of the scandal that came out was the wait list, getting referred for colonoscopies, getting the testing done. So there's got to be a set procedure for the veterans to speak up when they're getting this delay. The other thing is there's got to be a streamlining of the fee for service. It should not have to go through three levels before it's approved, and then somebody to work to help you find a Medicare-type physician to take you. I mean, that's ridiculous. So, you know, there needs to be a list of doctors and all specialties that will take patients from the VA in every location so they can be accessed quickly. The other thing, I feel like veterans have been left out. A lot of problems would have been averted if the veterans had been listened to. And what I suggest is every VA hospital and even a clinic setting have a town hall meeting regularly scheduled. And I would recommend that the representatives and senators attend those, or at least their staff. I also think that representatives and senators need to listen to the vets closer. We all know vets that called their senators and reps, and, you know, the IG reports and the, you know, they have had reports since, what, 2005 on this waiting list problem. And if they would, you know, have people showing up at the VA hospital and accompanying vets to see what's actually going on, that might help educate our representatives and senators. The other thing I had down, you know, the doctors have to be knowledgeable on exposures, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, the irritable bowel. And, you know, like our webinars, they could have doctors in that area, in that state, that are involved with caring for that in the civilian world are experts like you and I know in Dallas, Texas.
They're incredible in Dallas,
Dr.
Texas.
Ray, Dr. Johnson, Dr. Kipples. Those are three people that could be involved in going in there and helping them help treat the Gulf War veterans.
And Dr. Bob Haley.
Yes, and specialty clinics. You know, they set up specialty clinics, I think, for the OIF, IWF people. We need that. We've needed it for a long time, that we have a group of doctors and providers trained, specialized in that area until we get things rolling. You know, and then maybe after you've seen the specialty clinics, if it's more routine stuff, to be referred to a normal team. And I think your veterans organizations need to be on site at the VA, very publicly known, not only for claims help, but for just help with the problems that come out. If they're there, they can keep a log of the problems and help the people as they go through, probably much better than a patient rep can. The other thing is all the DOD reports that showed our exposures. That need to be accepted, communicated, all the way from the top down. Those are my list, just right off the bat as I sat here thinking about what I wanted to cover today. And, you know, there's a lot more that could be suggested. And like I said, I had, what, 28, 29 points when we went to the IOM back when. But let's see if anybody's called in.
Is there anybody else online that wants to join us with suggestions?
Steve Holman.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing? Sergeant, medically retired from the 82nd Airborne. I've actually been working with Denise at this current past April meeting with RAC and on the Hill and calling the senators and congressmen and stuff. But I've also been working with CVA, Concerned Veterans of America, with what they have up there as a bill. It's that passed the House was 4013, which is the Accountability Act, and it's now in the House, or excuse me, now in the Senate, and it's called S-213, 2013, which has majority of the senator signing on to it, which gives VA accountability. And then also they have talking points for what they should do now that, you know, Shinseki's gone. You know, first of all, they would like to create a culture of accountability at the Department of Affairs, empower the employees to speak up about wrongdoings. The department must be made to answer congressional inquiries at a direct, transparent, and timely manner. Increase the efficiency of the service delivery and evaluate of quality care provided by the VA system that is found in the private sector. And number five would be increase medical options for our veterans. Now, myself personally, as a computer scientist who recently graduated, they need to get the system updated across DOD and the VA where they can talk to each other and update the system. But right now they're operating off of DOS. And currently everybody else in the world is operating off of Java or C#. So the system is totally antiquated and needs to be revamped.
Anything else? Steve, you're so good at going through things.
So this is things that have come to my attention, and this is stuff that I've seen myself. And yes, Denise is right. There should be more. They do have where I'm at, you know, where veterans can be part of a board that sits down with the VA, but they need more of a town hall meeting at least once a month for veterans to come forth and let them speak out. And if their backlog gets beyond 6 months, I think they should start, you know, adding interest to whatever the disabilities, you know, to, you know, there's no reason they should go beyond 6 months. We're streamlining it according to the VA policy by sending it in electronically, which is supposed to go within 90 days, and it's still going way beyond that for most people. I'm dealing with a widow right now, and widows are supposed to be streamlined even faster, and the lady hasn't even heard letter one yet. So I'm just, you know, a little perturbed.
Well, what I understand on the fee basis and referrals outward, what's happened is it has to be, you know, the primary care, okay, first of all, starts at the secondary, is that team that she's on discusses it and improves it. Then it has to go to the administration to be approved. And then it goes back to the people handling fee basis to try to find a physician to take that fee basis effort.
Well,
and that's just too much layer.
Streamlining that would be accountable through the updating of the system, you know, which is systemically antiquated.
Right.
When they actually go in there, they'll be able to view everything from all VAs across the thing. As soon as they pull up your name, if you've been in any VA, they'll be able to see it, not have to go out of this system to go into this system to go to in this system just to see what, everything you've had done. Anything that ever has been done will be able to pull up on that system, and then they'll be able to, if they don't have an appointment within the 14-day limit, which is what they have now, then they can fee-base them at that point and not have to, you know, go any further, because, you know, that would help the delays in care. Okay, we don't have any in the next 14 days.
It
okay.
Should be automatically from that point, as my husband and I discussed, and he had been FAA for 26 years. You know, number one is, you know, a level three employee, you know, working on the scheduling should be able to automatically make that happen and not have so many levels having to approve it. Number two is one of his thoughts was, can't remember the management system, but apparently all the departments of the government have like a quality review program, and I'll have to put it out later, but they need to have more quality review and standards and maintain them and not have it gamed. Go ahead, Steve. Go back to your thoughts.
That's with coding. The coding that you would, you know, put out there for, say, Google or someplace like that, to actually do the coding for you for the system, for DoD and stuff like that, or Apple, whoever you want to use for coding, would actually put in there that, you know, ways that they cannot adjust the system. There's no way to flub it. Where DOS is so old, you can flub that thing, you know, just by, you know, hitting the wrong keystroke.
You know, there's so much more. I mean, when we look at the fundamentals, computer systems and all this for communication, but we got to come back to the fundamentals. We have a horrible problem within the Department of Defense, and I know in the Army, as far as completing what's called line of duty. And a line of duty is required to verify the incident, confirm the health effects from the incident and whatever, to line up your medical care within the VA or within the military after you get out or come back. We have the post-employment physical assessment forms, which is the new one that Denise, you were instrumental in working with Kilpatrick, as we were, but you go back all the way back from day one. I know we had a post-deployment in Vietnam. And all this stuff somehow disappears. The other thing, too, is complete communication with all the internal documents. There's no reason for the Veteran Service Officer, as he writes up the claim, not to have all the documents and provide those to the documents. What has been happening, and what flusters me completely, and all the people that call me for help, is the documents are hidden, so the confirmation of the exposures, the confirmation of health effects, the internal documents within the military, the internal documents within the VA are hidden from the Veteran Service Officer, they're hidden from the kid. So unless the kid or all of us, and I mean kid, I mean anybody coming back of any age, unless they have access to the document, even though the VA knows the document exists, they don't acknowledge it. It's a game of, well, you have to prove it to me, even though we knew what the problem is. So we're seeing that incredible problems on the fee basis. What here's happening in Illinois with the fee basis, and I've been having to use it for my own surgeries, is you get a fee basis referral, and then you as the individual have to go out and find a physician, get that physician to say he will take your case. Then the physician goes back to the fee basis office and sets everything up for approval. Now, what's happened to me recently, I'm outside of the 2 weeks where my fee basis physician recommended eye surgery for the radiation cataracts, and nothing's happened. And so we're outside of the 14-day window where surgery has been recommended, and the fee basis physician is actually a VA contract doctor, but they couldn't get me into an appointment within a VA, so I went to a regular appointments in her civilian office. So the whole system is just bogged down with denials and disregard for health and safety and disregard of all the complex toxic exposures because of the casualty numbers that we have, and they don't want to acknowledge the incredible casualties in the U.S. military, which goes to the coalition, which goes to civilian, because what, Denise, you and I and all of us have talked about the cross-contamination where we have the spouses and family getting sick as a vet came back from clothing, equipment, whatever. And then that goes to all of the individuals in all these nations that we trashed. So, I mean, we got a massive problem of policy formulation where the policy has been not to tell the vet, not to take care of the sick and ill vet because of the budgetary considerations.
Can I speak on that real quick?
Yeah.
I actually have been following up. I got Senator Burr, who's the ranking member of the Veterans House Affairs for the Republicans. He's my senator, and he's actually posted that the VA has had excess of money in the billions for the past 3 years, and that he doesn't know what they're doing with it.
And they've turned back money.
And yet,
each year they've turned back money.
Turn back billions of dollars when we need this money, because of the number of doctors and nurses and clinicians that are needed to take care of the veterans are not being filled across the nation. If we fill those voids, it would help the system some, and not, it wouldn't be the answer, but it'll help out tremendously to get those doctors and nurses that can actually do their job without repercussions.
I've heard over and over again, talking to doctors that have gone into the VA or considered going to the VA or the military, is when they did speak up, and I've had this personal experience with myself and others I've been helping a lot, that when the doctor sees the problem and tries to do what's right, for budgetary reasons and policy decisions, they're hampered in their job where they're not allowed to do it right. And then overt retaliation has happened over and over again. We had a massive scheduling problem here at the Danville-Illiana VA Medical Center. The staff medical guy providing medical care who blew the whistle was promptly sent packing. Hopefully yeah. that's all resolved now. But
and that's part of the Senate Bill 2013, which is VA accountability, to be able to empower the employees to speak up about wrongdoings without any repercussion that I spoke about earlier.
We had a major VA physician that came out and blew the whistle loud, what, about 10 months ago or something?
Right.
You were at that hearing, weren't you, Denise?
Yes, that was a year ago, March 13th, I believe it was, last year.
Could you describe what happened, please?
Well, basically, we had one of the headquarters people, Dr. Conkin, I think was his name, and he had served in headquarters and dealing with research, and he came out and testified on our behalf. Basically, one of the big things he talked about was the mental health issue and people that probably committed suicide because they weren't followed up from a research project. I mean, if they, you know, put on a survey that they're thinking about that strongly, yes, they need to be followed up with. But he also talked about the Gulf War illness research and how a lot of those research projects are being hidden from view. So, you know, he was a whistleblower. He resigned. I mean, he was, he had a degree, I think, in ethics and everything, too, so, and involved with the Ethics Association. And so, you know, if you believe in that and you got your degree in it and you're active in an organization or society for that, then you've got to carry out your beliefs, and that's why he resigned, you know, was because it wasn't being taken care of.
Well, the systematic problems that I know once I started working with you, Denise, and walking the hill up there, this goes back 14 years that I can confirm where you and I have been working on it. We talked to multiple secretaries of the VA in person during hearings and work up on the hill, and every one after another somehow, well, I'm going to fix it, and it just continues broken. So it's so ingrained that the system, to in order to control the budgetary thing and deny the correlation between incredible toxic exposures, which is a primary cause for all the casualties, because we've had very few actually wounded in action, and the same thing with killed in action. It was friendly fire, I know, from Desert Storm. They just don't want to have it, because I remember, and the man is gone now, but we did have an insider also. His first name was Bill. Denise, you and I knew him very well.
I think we can say his last name now since he's gone, Bill Eddy.
He was deep throat for...
yeah, he was, I believe he was Marine Vietnam, and he saw what was happening. He tried to speak out, tried to help inside. He got retaliation. They threatened him with his job, and he had children get through college. And, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, this does not only just stem with the VA. Just recently here at Fort Bragg, the commander of the Womack Army Hospital was relieved due to countless deaths that shouldn't have happened.
Well, Fort Bragg has had continuous problems forever and ever that I personally know of, because the colonel that put our specialized team together in 82 retired at Fort Bragg, and he was just a few months ago, he called and told me he was in there where a soldier had just came back. He was bleeding from the rectum. Absolutely, we know what's happening. His esophagus and the upper and lower intestine were just flaking off, and he was bleeding out. And my colonel had to intervene with the doctors to get him care as the kid's bleeding out in the waiting room.
I mean, when we've had to call chaplains on duty and officers on duty to try to get help when some of our vets called me and wanted to commit suicide, I mean, this...
Well, I have the active duty personnel that I know because I just got done, and they're being trying to force out, and the Army's saying right now that, hey, we're giving you a percentage, and it's the VA's problem. And they're not trying to, one, inform them exactly what is going on with them. And they've had all these inoculations and everything else and been exposed to burn pits. And they're just like, you got to go. and turn them over to the VA. So the system is breaking down with inside before it even gets out to the VA, too.
Yeah, right. I know when they were going to put me to the medical evaluation board because of the neuropathy and everything, it was clear as a bell, but as Denise knows, they couldn't allow any of the members of Bowers Raiders to get off duty, even when we were so sick. And what was really funny, and Denise, you were there multiple times, where the military Department of Defense actually wanted Bowers Raiders to come back and work for them.
Yeah. Let's see if anybody else has called in. Anybody else that's called in, speak up.
We're looking for suggestions, ladies and gentlemen, tonight. So if you want to call in with suggestions as your perspective on how to fix it, please call 888-874-4888. The producer will answer, and then you got to speak right up when we call. So please come up tonight to make your suggestions to fix the system.
What worries me with all that's going on is some of them that want to dismantle the VA and have patients get, like, Medicare. And that's not appropriate. I want to see the VA system function as it should. Vets have common interest, and a hospital that specializes, I mean, we all know they do good with traumatic brain, they do good with prostasis. There's a lot of areas that they have developed really outstanding specialties that aren't there in the outside world, you know, readily available. But you know, it's got to be cleaned up, and it's not just Shinseki. As we know from the Gulf War Research Advisory Committee, there were people interfering. Even when Shinseki heard out our chairman,
the
next meeting he had was people coming in and lying to him. And he took their word.
What was that doctor's name that, with the beard, Denise, that was campaigning against us at the time?
Oh, there's been several.
No, the one that was there, you know, in his place and had to leave early.
I'd have to thank Steve.
Okay.
One of the things I want to mention before we get too carried away here is there is a bill that VVA worked on that I have a lot of interest in, and I'm going to start bringing it up along with when I call the senators on the H.R. 4261 situation. But there's a bill that they put out, and it covers the toxic exposures. And that is what we need, is more attention paid in this day and age to toxic exposures. And I've just put that on to our Facebook page on Gulf War Illnesses. The bill number is Senate Bill 1602, and it's the Toxic Exposures Research and Military Family Support Act. So 1602 is a very well-written bill. It's a Senate bill. I don't think they have a mirror bill yet. But, you know, we're running out of time for this session of Congress. And for those of you that don't know, you need to be communicating with your senators and reps. And I always call D.C. If it's a legislative matter, you should be calling D.C., if it's personal problems that you need help with, the home offices are really good at helping and guiding on that. But you need to be communicating with your senators and reps. Right now, it's critical time to put your ideas into them and why you think those ideas should be instituted. And
I know locally here, Congressman Rodney Davis, he's in the 15th District of Illinois, 13th District, it's all revamped here. He has jumped on the bandwagon completely. He was instrumental in he put his name on the thing calling for the president to clean up house in the VA. And then this next Wednesday, he's holding a job and resource fair. He is holding it and calling everybody in to help the veterans here in central Illinois.
Most of the congressmen have been very active in the VA, you know, trying to get jobs for veterans. They've been very active in my area. I know, you know, it's almost every other month or something that they have one. But it's more than just jobs. You know, if your health care isn't good, you're going to have problems holding a job.
You know, the other thing, too, I mean, we need to come back, and I know Denise and you and I both think the word of them is Dennis Kucinich, and they need to bring Dennis back on as a consultant the same thing. They need Chris Shays, and Bernie has been, when I talked to Bernie's staff last week for an hour, man, they were just on it, and they were on it continuously. Bernie Sanders, thank you. God bless you, Bernie. You're a hero to me. You know, and then we also got the one out in Washington State, too, another doctor out there in the Seattle area. So there's a handful of congressmen that have been champions for the veterans all along for a long, long time.
I would say be careful. Really get to know your senator and rep and what they stand for. There's a lot of Republicans that would like to really cost it out of the VA. And I'm not so sure that's the right way to go. I think we need to clean out the VA. We need to take away bonuses until it's straightened out. All bonuses, not just, you know, the ones that have done wrong or whatever.
I'm
cut
sorry,
out the bonuses, period, until this gets straightened out.
I mean, why should you pay somebody for failure to do their job? And why would they? Well, I know why they gave them bonuses, because they want them to fail and hold all the logs down. That's why the bonuses were given. That's all proven now on the record.
Well, some of the doctors, they could make better in the civilian world. Okay, that's true. And if you've got outstanding doctors, to keep them at the VA, you're going to have to, you know, either find a way to have a more appropriate pay grade applied or something else.
There's another problem, and it's the key one. Denise, I know you've been involved in this your entire career, what started, 1968. And this is continuing medical education. I've ran into it over and over again where the doctors and the nurses won't take the time on their own outside of that 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., wherever they are, to do the continuing medical education. Well, when they're drowning in casualties and treating everybody, all the guys from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, everything in between, up through Desert Storm, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Enduring Freedom, New Dawn, and all the new stuff in Nigeria, the new stuff in the Balkans. I mean, they're drowning in casualties without the resources, and they don't have the education or the information because that's been deliberately withheld.
And I think doctors in the community that want to get involved, even if they give one day a week, you know, I think they should be encouraged and a system set up that they can become involved with the VA, even if they're not a VA employee. Have them come in, consult, guide. I think that would help a lot. A lot of doctors have advanced management skills when they've been running their own clinics and everything else. I have to say, I want to be careful on trying to get our input on good people put on the list to be evaluated to be the next secretary.
Well, I can think of one real fast that I'd love to have on that list, actually two people.
Number one that I think of is former Senator Jim Webb, James Webb, and he was Secretary of the Navy before. He has helped veterans with their claims pro bono for years. Very definitely a good candidate. I mean, I would look, you know, for some logistics support and management support. Maybe that needs to be a new level.
Maybe
somebody like Pergonis, you know, that's been involved with logistics. And, you know, I had an article about how much they were spending on furniture and drapes. And, you know, I'm going, oh, we need some control here. And I think a logistic person that served in the military would be a very valuable asset, not so much as secretary. But they may need a new level there for logistic control.
Well, logistics control, the best I know of, one that I worked directly for, was General Gus Pagonis. I mean, he is one of the logistics magicians of all time, and I know during the DU project, Captured Equipment Project, Bowers Raiders, he was instrumental in getting us support. The policies all fell apart after the war and since then. But during the time, he was, it was kind of like he gave us a carte blanche to what we needed to get done to get the job done. And he's a magician of all types.
And then he served with Sears at Sears headquarters. So, you know, he's a good business manager, you know.
Well, I also think Dr. Ben Carson would be a good candidate.
Well, don't forget Jim Benz either.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, that's a good advocate right there. You know, I would speak highly about Mr. Benz all day long and what he's done for us.
I think we also need to look at, you know, some of the problems like toxic injuries. There needs to be a key person up there.
His name could be thrown in there.
Who?
you know.
Anyway, there needs to be a key person that deals with all these toxic exposures somewhere up, maybe not the secretary, but right below him, and that his word goes, okay? And have him be experienced and get the, you know, have the knowledge to do it. Because it's still Agent Orange. It's still, you know, Gulf War illness. It's, you know, the returning Iraqi vets, the burn pits. All that needs some really focus.
You know, but when we get into the burn pits and everything, the U.S. Air Force is still disavowing any connection. At the same time, the internal memorandum, which has now been distributed from MedCom, Military Medical Command, confirms it and directs everybody to go to for medical care for the burn pit exposures, identifying the physiological ICD-9 codes that they're experiencing, go get care. So there's a disconnect between the military wanting to acknowledge that what they did was wrong and has horrible consequences, and the VA even admitting what they know should be done. That's a policy decision all the way up the top that's been way more. I mean, we had that run-in going back, I don't know, 15 years with all the secretaries. We have somebody else online. Anybody else joined us?
Want to give the call-in number again?
888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I mean, there's been a lot of veterans that have gone up and down the hill and worked for a long time, and all these organizations have clear understanding of why it's broke and how it's broke because they saw it in action. And I think, I mean, they need a complete advisory board of all of those individuals. And a lot of these guys have tremendous, tremendous background and education and on-the-ground experience.
Well, you know, Anthony Hardy, I want to call out some of the names that have been just outstanding advocates. Anthony Hardy, Marguerite Knox, the nurse that was on the Presidential Advisory Committee, on Research Advisory Committee. Joel Graves, who I guess will be leaving September 30th, too, unless we get our bill straightened out and he stays. He's an excellent choice. I kind of questioned it when he first came on early on. But when I got to know him and his experience level, I stand beside him. Paul Sullivan's done excellent work. By the way, Paul Sullivan will be moving out to California. He's going to be involved with the California State Department of Veterans Affairs. So he will no longer be readily available for us up in D.C., where he's been working with the law firm, Bergman Moore. And Paul has done a lot of work besides being one of the executive directors of the NGWRC when it was going very well.
And then it crashed.
And then it crashed, yeah. But we need to, you know, get good suggestions and get them in for senators and their reps. Maybe they can build a bill around what the veterans want instead of them just doing it on their own. I think that's critically important to have feed into the process. And I see that as one of the biggest problems that led to this, besides the responsibility and accountability is all the way down in the VA, the administration, and Congress, and, you know, the House and Senate. This has been going on since the Bush administration that we knew about this, you know, and why didn't the Veterans Affairs Committees on both sides nail it earlier? Why did it take Dr. Foote of Arizona to come out for everybody to pay attention?
Well,
that's what it took, was a doctor that retired that came out and told the truth.
You know, we had the problem with Bush 1 knowing right away, and then we absolutely had a significant problem with the Clinton administration. That's why Denise, you and I both, and a lot of the other ones, went off to help George Bush Jr. And then it continued right on through, and we did absolutely, Congressman Tim Johnson and all of us worked together to actually fully brief then-Senator Barack Obama, who was the senator for the state of Illinois. And so he's always known, and I still got all the phone numbers and communication we did. And what was really neat here with all this coming up the other day, I do know the people in the congressional staff that worked on that briefing brought it all up. I know definitely that Bernie Sanders, he already knew it, but he was, you know, re-informed. And so that all came out to play. So the congressional people had totally informed then-Senator Barack Obama as a state senator for Illinois. It's just been an ongoing nightmare, and it's policy decisions, economic decisions. I mean, one of the things that Bill Eddy, and I've got a copy of it still, and I've provided it to all the congressional staff and newspapers and reporters, Bill Eddy actually gave us a document from internal VA, and this is what dated, what, 92 or 93, saying they're not going to allow costs and treatment and everything, the budget to go through to provide treatment. It's an astonishing document, an internal VA document, direct knowing.
And then just lately to have the one in charge of benefits, the female general, Hickey, whatever her name is,
Hickey,
to come out and say that she didn't want to call it Gulf War illness because it would pull the connection to the war, and that relates to claims. It's just beyond reason.
You know, we don't have a whole lot left because of the heroes of the Gulf War and the MedCom. They're dying and dying, and too many are left. There's not a whole lot of people left that can speak up knowing what happened. And it's a key player because we're seeing a total repeat all over. The contamination in and around the close military installations right here at Chinook Air Force Base, the denials, even though the reports confirm it. And that's happening in Hawaii, that's happening in Indiana, that's happening in Florida, it's happening in Nevada. It's happening, just look right out there, we have out there at Port Drake, Maryland. The local water is absolutely contaminated from all the contaminants on that horrible base. And now they're suing the military to get it cleaned up. Well, this shouldn't be necessary. I mean, It's a horrific mess for economic and political reasons from day one. That decision was made, and I remember Honoris Carnegie Boff having a massive argument with General Block, and they were in-laws. Oh,
okay.
Denise, you've heard that story a million times,
yes,
haven't you?
Yes. Doug, right. I want to recognize the people that went to D.C. Okay?
Please do.
From Oregon, Peter Green, all the way from Oregon. We had Connie Gonzalez from Texas, of course, myself from Colorado. We had Glenn Stewart that drove all the way from Oklahoma and willing to pick up people on the way. No one took him up on it. We had Steve Homan. We had David Lachelle from Indiana. We had Keith Nordig from Pennsylvania. Help me, Steve. Who else did I leave out of the list?
The gentleman for... was it Dave Lachelle from Virginia, right?
No, he was Indiana. Mike Jarrett from Virginia.
Jarrett, yeah.
And so, you know, we were all sick, but we had a mission to accomplish, and I've got to say, I think we were all wore out every night. I know the ones that were sharing rooms went to bed early. But
yeah, we were wore out, and I just got cleared to actually start walking just before I went out there from surgery on my foot.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's how important it is to me to protect the rights of myself, not only myself, but my other veterans that served with me so that this would not go away.
Who was it, Steve? Was it you or was it David that confronted Shinseki as you went into the RAC meeting?
That was David Lachelle.
No, that was
Lachelle.
That was Lachelle.
Yeah, he's spoken about that on the show already before.
Yeah, he got the selfie in the elevator. Yep.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Denise has just given us a list of names of true American heroes. Steve, you're with us tonight. Denise, you're with us. All the rest of the guys, God bless you and thank you. You are real American heroes. The military might not hang a medal on you, but I think all the veterans and all the family members need to thank you. And on behalf of them, I'm thanking you.
I just take a second, if I may.
Sure.
The burn pits, they need to include other areas, not just the ones that the VA will recognize, i.e. Iraq, Afghanistan. I know people that are in Korea burning and doing burn pits, people in Africa and other places that were doing burn pits. But unless it's a war, the VA will not actively recognize it, you know, to include Somalia and other places.
I think that's the beauty of this new bill that VVA has had out. You might want to read it, 1602 Senate bill, because it talks about all toxics. And, you know, whether it be vaccines, low-level chemical exposure, pesticides, bad water, you name it, should fall under that toxic category. And I think they're right on in trying to do this. And besides supporting our RAC bill and other bills like for the caregivers, I think we need to add this one on our list to really push hard. Because what happens, guys, is Congress works in a two-year cycle. So we're coming up on the end of that two-year cycle. If we don't get these bills through by the fiscal year, which is October 1, I mean, they go through till like November sometime, but, you know, if you don't have a running start on bills right now, you have less percentage of getting it through. And if these bills do not get enacted this time, they have to be reintroduced and we have to start all over. And, of course, every election we have new people, new reps, new senators, new staff that we have to educate and inform and get them up to speed. So, people, you know, we have our problems with our symptoms, what's working for us, you know, research. But, you know, the key to all this is getting legislation through that answers and helps. It may not be perfect, okay? I don't think any bill is ever perfect. But we've got to, you know, do our best to be heard and support the bills that we've read and understand and, you know, address them. Because if we don't, we rely on just a few up in headquarters of the Legion or VFW or VVA or AMVETS, and they need our help. You know, each of them have a very small group that does legislation, you know. And so it really takes the vets to get informed about legislation and not be scared to make a phone call.
Well, the other thing, too, with the Legion and the AMVETS and the VFW and the DAV, they need to make the effort to get all of these documents and reports, internal orders, the internal directives, the internal confirmation posted on their websites. They need to get the post-employment physical assessment form, 2796, posted up there.
Yeah.
They need to get
I will say something right now. And vets, we have a Gulf War veteran Marine leading it, okay? I don't think any of the others have a Gulf War veteran leading the organization. And Stuart was there at the RAC, spoke. He's very dedicated and wants to do things and wants to get Gulf War vets organized, whether it be a virtual meeting online, whatever. I've met their legislative director. She's very committed to us. I don't cut out VFW and Legion, but I tell you what, you're going to have to get involved. Speak up. Tell them at your post-meeting or chapter meetings what bills are important and what you need each of the members of your post to call, email, fax, what have you, to support each of these efforts. Then you need to get involved at the state level. And as sick Gulf War vets, that's hard. But, you know, that's what it takes to get things rolling is Gulf War vets speaking up, you know, take a leadership position if you have to. Make it happen. It's not all about going to the VFW and drinking, you know. It's and it's not about, you know, supporting the baseball that the Legion has. It's so much more. We've got to concentrate on veterans' needs.
You know, the other thing too, again, get involved, and I've been very successful here in Central Illinois. Write letters to the editor. Call into the radio talk shows. I mean, you know, we've got the dedicated shows. Joyce Riley's got one. We've got our Warrior Connection. There's a whole bunch of been dedicated doing incredible work all the way across. But call the normal talk show. Fill them out, because one thing I've learned here, we have Penny for Your Thoughts, the daily radio talk show, and WDWS coming out of Champaign, Illinois. And once we provided the documents, information to them, boy, they have, for a long time, they've been a champion on updating and getting all the info across. And so all this is key, because one of the things I think is missing, and we've all this frustration, the general public doesn't want to know because it disrupts their lives, so they don't want to know because then they have to do something, take responsibility. And what we've seen over the in Congress and the House and the Senate both is allowing the VA and DRA to run rampant because they just were afraid of looking at the truth of what has happened. Well, now it's all come out, and they said at the beginning, what, there was a handful of problems at Phoenix, and now it's reached out to almost every VA, isn't it?
Well, it's at least 40 VAs that I know of right now, but they're doing audits in all of the VAs, all the clinics.
Well, hey, Denise,
audit. Yes.
You know, the head of CVA, Concerned Veterans of America, is a Gulf War veteran, and his name's Pete Hegseth, and he was an officer in the 3rd Brigade of the 101st at the time.
I know Pete. I was emailing back and forth with Pete and talked to his parents when he was deployed to Afghanistan. So I just sent an email to Pete inviting him to come on Warrior Connection, and hopefully we'll get him there because, I mean, he was something else when we were emailing when he was still in combat.
Yeah, I'm working with him now to get him linked up with these other issues because right now they're taking the lead on the reform portion.
The Accountability Act.
Yes, and I'm trying to get him to, you know, use his involvement with also the rest of the important ones out there, such as H.R. 4261. And then now that I know about the toxic exposure, I'll talk to him about getting on with that and getting us linked up so that we're doing a charge because they have been able to pass their bill easily because what they do is they get a bunch of people calling in from across the country. And at the end of the night, they'll inundate people's phone boxes with the concerns of what they're, you know, what they need to push through. And the next morning, you know, it allows them to, you know, the senators to actually take a look at it because they have to get back to some of these important people.
Now, along the other thing too, and I had a mother come up to me in the grocery store yesterday. A mother of a current vet that's over just literally came back, and all the medical problems that they're having from the burn pit and the exposures and all the immunizations and the PTSD because of the moral injury that they underwent and all the other stuff is just ripping these families apart. And there has to be total recognition and proper care. We've had individuals, and I had it recently when I went for help, and an individual said, well, I can help. And then all of a sudden he finds out he doesn't have a clue what's underlying all of the problems. And he had to say, my God, I can't help because the standard techniques we've done where you basically sit in the office and talk about it and feel good for a few minutes is not going to resolve the problem. We have to resolve the deep, ingrained mass of problems within VA and DOD. I don't know what else to say. Denise?
Yeah.
You've been leading this charge ever since I met you. You were leading it before I met you, 15 years, 16, 17 years
well,
ago.
Well, I woke up when I got home and on the old Prodigy Network and Vic Sylvester and Coy Overstreet.
They're gone to heaven, aren't they?
Yes, they have.
We
and
need them today.
They quickly educated me. I got involved and started going to D.C. and met a lot of Vietnam vets, and since I was Vietnam-er and they see this nurse being passionate about things, got pulled in and met with VVA, know Rick for years, Rick Wiederman, the National Vietnam Gulf War Veterans Coalition, and, you know, I said, there's got to be somebody doing this, and what started was we had gone out for the first meeting at the NIH back in 94. It was April, I believe. And then we had Regal's hearing and Rockefeller. Well, we had Rockefeller first and then Regal. And so we, the group that came in from Ohio and closer in, we said, y'all get back and cover the Rockefeller meeting. We'll come in for the Regal and start kind of, you know, you can't always be there, although I've done that a lot. But... and tried to get organized and doing things like that. And we'd go up for the hearing, and we planned to say, you know, come in a day before, so we have a day before and a day after, and quickly realized that wasn't going to work, you know. You may have some come in and just come see their rep or maybe one of their senators, and I just kind of took it on that I had to go brief them and tell them what was going on and what I was seeing, what I was hearing. You know, I took emails. I got permission, took emails up there so I could show them, this is one from your state, you know, and there's others. And, you know, it was more of a briefing type thing of you've got to open up your eyes and ears and really hear us. This is a problem.
The frustrating part, and we had this happen when I was walking the hill with you, Denise, if you remember. We had a VA or a DOD mirror that was following either before us or after us, trying to shoot the messengers to prevent the message from being heard. So there was a collective effort, and still ongoing to this day. I've heard stuff on the radio and TV talk shows again today where, you know, well, this didn't happen, it's not there, and you can't believe the vets, and as if, wait a minute, don't you get the message yet? Accountability is here, and it's now we're going to force it through.
But
why did they do that, Denise? I never understood it. Why did they do that?
I don't know. I remember talking, I'm trying to remember the one that was head of House Veterans Affairs at that time. And it was like we worked and worked to try to get their attention. I mean, we were having to go, instead of VA Affairs, we had to take whatever person stepped up. And that turned out to be Congressman Chris Shays and Burton with the Government Reform and Oversight. And they held hearings after hearings after hearings. Bernie was on that panel, Kucinich, Towns. I can still remember each of them that served on that Government Reform and Oversight Committee. And you could tell they were really listening. They were really concerned. At the VA committees, they weren't listening. They weren't getting it. And then we finally, you know, with the RAC developing an oversight and investigation, Mr. Benz has testified many times in front of that subcommittee, not just, you know, this past time about the bill, but each time a report came out, you know, he was up there to testify and have GovWar, you know, veterans, you know, GovWar health be an issue. So I just know that we need more vets involved, and by bringing people up to D.C., our vets are very talented. I was impressed with Peter, Steve, each and every one of them. It may have been their first trip to the Hill, but they stepped up. They learned quickly and spoke up to their senators and rep staffers, and I think it made a lot of difference. I've talked to some of the staffers since I've gotten home, and it's like one time I went up there with Joe Poe, a small group of us, and one was in a wheelchair, and it was like we were being talked about, and there was only four or five of us, so it takes vets getting up there.
Well, we're out of time. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Denise. All the guys that have gone up there, Denise listed them. God bless you, and thank you. You know, what can we do? We got to keep working on it, get the information out, and get accountability. It's up to the vets to force it. Thank you, and God bless America. Thank you, Gary Noll. God bless you, Gary, for all you've done.